Turn today in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 9. Revelation chapter number 9. I want to read two verses today. We're talking about verses 20 and 21. Revelation chapter number 9. Once you locate the passage, I want to read beginning at verse number 20. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. The Bible says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank you today that because of Calvary, a person does not have to be subjected to the judgment of God. We know that we're reading and preaching from a passage of Scripture that is very sober. And our Father, we're dealing with a serious and sober subject today, but yet the penalty for sin has been taken care of because of Calvary. And I pray today, if there's someone in this church service that has never gotten things settled right, because it's impossible to settle things right unless they're settled with God, and I pray today would be the day of their settlement. Lord, thank you for the music. Now bless the message and stir our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, my subject is not a very pleasant subject, but yet it's a necessary subject. I want to preach today on the subject, depravity, drugs, delusion, and damnation. Depravity, drugs, delusion, and damnation. This past Wednesday night, I spoke on the love of God, and I certainly was delighted to address that wonderful subject. Today I'm preaching on a subject that is totally the opposite and extremely sobering. But yet we know that a gospel preacher has a solemn responsibility in order to consistently preach the whole counsel of God. We are mandated to preach the whole counsel, which includes not only God's love, but God's wrath. May I say today that I have never witnessed a time where there's any more of a wholesale epidemic of careless living than what we see now in our society. It would appear that America is doing nothing but moving chairs on the Titanic, so to speak, while the ship is sinking. All we're doing is moving chairs, but the ship is going down. And I would be quick to point out today that this is not just an American problem, this is a global problem. Our world is addicted to vice, and it's obsessed with sinful, vile living, which is unprecedented. Modern civilization is courting the judgment of God at a neck-break pace. We're moving rapidly towards God's judgment. To make matters worse, there is a sickening lethargy that has settled over many churches where many simply attend church for traditional reasons and cannot be instructed by Scripture, for they refuse to change their lifestyles. It's bad enough observing the chaos and the corruption in our land, but it's even worse that you see such lethargy in many churches that are still preaching the truth and standing by the old-fashioned religion. It is an understatement to say that things are in a mess. Back in 1984, I preached a message entitled, the message was entitled, "What is it going to take to wake some people up?" And I simply dealt with four things that should be enough. There are four things that should be enough to wake people up. First of all, the sorrow of sin. People's miserable life made miserable because of sin. Sin itself, the heavy burden, The distress brought on by sin should cause people to want to seek for relief. And when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, the relief is certainly given. Sorrow of sin. The solemnness of impending judgment should be enough to wake people up. How many more preachers are going to keep sounding the gospel trumpet, warning people of the wrath of God to come, preaching messages on hell, talking about the great white throne judgment, and dealing with subject matters such as that, and yet people still sit in the pews yawning, nodding their heads, and acting like it's some kind of a fairy tale? How much longer is this going to go on? The sorrow of sin should be enough to wake people up. The solemnness of judgment should be enough to wake people up. The sober reality of hell should be enough to wake people up. And the sweet love of God should be enough. To think that God loves sinners. To think that God has given man an opportunity. But yet they still spit in the face of God. Reject the truth. Still keep persisting in living in sin. And time goes on and the clock keeps ticking. And people are getting closer and closer by the minutes to the judgment of God without Jesus Christ. You can believe it or not, but what we see happening in our world today, as bad as it is, it's like a picnic in the park compared to what it will be one day on this earth when the tribulation period reaches its peak. I believe the Bible, don't you? I believe in the future, don't you? I believe there's coming a time of judgment on this earth, don't you? I believe there's going to be a time called Daniel's 70th week, which will be a time of tribulation on this earth, don't you? We all do. Seals, trumpets, and vials will signal a gradual intensity of judgment as a 7-year tribulation period moves towards its end, and the Lord comes back in glory at the end of it. The language of the book of Revelation is sobering, for it details judgment after judgment falling upon sinful mankind that will be living upon this earth. May I be quick to point out, and I say this with all of the seriousness that I know how to state, if you're left when the rapture takes place, you will be living on this earth. You will be subjected to those solemn judgments that will occur. It'll be hell on this earth. You will wish for the day that you could die, but death will even flee based upon the language of Scripture. A terrible time. I would plead with any of you today, if you're in this service without God and without hope, don't wait till this preacher gives an invitation. Come forward now. Get on your faces before God. Cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness before it's too late. Amen. It's time we quit playing church. It's time we quit trying to hide under the refuge of a church membership. It's time today that we realize that only in Jesus Christ is there forgiveness of sins and redemption. Oh, let's think about the seriousness of this passage. Included in the judgments that will occur upon this earth, here it is. 1/4 of the population of this earth will be slain under the fourth seal, according to Revelation. 1/3 more will be killed when the sixth trumpet sounds. Now imagine, I'm just throwing out a figure, this is a conservative number. Let's imagine when that sixth trumpet is sounded, based upon the language of Scripture, 1/3 of the people will be slain. Let's imagine, this is conservative. Let's imagine the population living on this earth is 1.5 billion. Immediately, there would be 500 million people slain. Immediately. My friend, this is not a story. This is not a fairy tale. This is God's Word. God is giving people time after time after time chances to repent. And I honestly do believe that those that are living in the Bible Belt, if they die without God, I believe their accountability is going to be much greater than a person that dies and goes to hell from the Congo. Because we've had more opportunities. Imagine leaving a church service such as you're hearing today and die and drop into hell. Revelation chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. Verses 13 through 14, the Bible talks about four angels being released. They must be evil angels that will be released upon this earth at that time because they've been bound. And since they were bound, that would tell us they must be evil angels. I believe that during the tribulation period, what you will have, there will be a wholesale invasion of demonic forces. Wholesale invasion. We're told in another passage in the book of Revelation that men will seek death and cannot find it. In other words, literally the walking dead. People that are trying to die but can't. Imagine that. You think of how Hollywood perverts, distorts, and messes up any semblance of trying to create any kind of a biblical narrative. And sometimes even the program like The Walking Dead, that's not an attempt to depict any kind of a biblical narrative anyway, but I'm just simply saying people are making a mockery and laughing at sin. It's no laughing matter. Imagine a person taking a gun and pointing it to their head and pulling the trigger and the gun going off, but the person's still living. People will desire to die but won't be able to. It'll be impossible to commit suicide. Take a look. Just take a look at today's perverted and warped lifestyles which are being paraded before us. But what we see is nothing but a dress rehearsal for the time during the tribulation period. If you think it's bad now, you haven't seen nothing yet. Because when the Holy Spirit of God, the restrainer, is taken out of this earth, when the church goes up, then I'll tell you, people will literally do that which is right in their own eyes, wholesale fashion. Today, what do you see? Well, you see a world laughing at sin. That's what you see. But what do you see in terms of sin? You see violence everywhere. You see people being shot every week. You see riots, people being shot, people's lives being taken for no apparent reason. You see many people today overdosed on drugs. There's an epidemic of drugs today. You know that. You see an obsession with sex, television, radio. It's a continual bombardment of the mind with some kind of a new sex drug or something like that. It's simply showing us where people's minds happen to be. Warped in judgment. You see that? An example. I'm convinced that today, people's judgments are warped, and I'm talking about in the political circles and social circles such as I've never seen. Here's what we've heard on the news recently. Tell me if this isn't a case of warped judgment. There's legislation that some politicians are pushing forward that would allow illegals to go to law school. It's on news. How can a lawbreaker be a lawyer? I'm simply making a point today. Warp judgment. When sin rules, common sense goes out the back door. I have some simple, heavy points I want to give you today when we think about this subject. Depravity itself is indicative of God's judgment. Depravity itself. You say, preacher, I believe that God's going to judge this world. I believe that God's already judged this world. I can prove it if you'll let me. You know where I'm going to read. You know the passage. Depravity today as we see it is already indicative of God's judgment. I believe that God has already given some people up to do some of these obscene, terrible, debauched, depraved things that are happening today in our society. I believe that there's an invasion of demonic forces that is corrupting the minds of people where they're feeding on filth. Romans 1, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Romans 1:24-28. God gave them up, used three times. My friend, when God gives people up, that's judgment. When people can casually, with a smile on their face, parade down a street and be proud of their depraved lifestyle and think that it's in order, that, I think, is an indication of being given up. There used to be a time that there was shame in connection to some sins, but there's no longer any shame. My point, depravity itself is indicative of God's judgment. I said just a few moments as we got started that my message is entitled Depravity, Drugs, Delusion, and Damnation. Let me show you something. Let me show you something that's very, very significant. Drugs. Your Bibles are open to Revelation 9. Let me show you something. Look at verse 21, please. Look at verse number 21. Chapter 9, verse number 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries. Underscore that word. Nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Sorceries. Okay, you ready for this? The Greek word for sorceries is the word that is pronounced pharmakion. Pharmakion. We get our word pharmacy. Pharmacy means drugs. We used to call a pharmacy a drugstore, remember? Drugstore. Now, let me stay on point with what I'm saying. The Great Tribulation will witness an epidemic of drug overdoses, which will make today's usage pale in significance. People, I believe, will turn to drugs in the attempt to bear the effect of the judgments. They will overdose, but they will not die. Drug usage. Word sorceries. I think in the context of what the word means in Greek, drugs. Drugs. Drug epidemic, such as we've never seen, will occur during the tribulation period. Because of the miseries, because of the torments, because of the sufferings, people will turn to drugs. Imagine people going around, their minds totally deranged and burned up by drugs, but yet still unable to die, only compounding their misery. Let's look at where we are now. According to the U.S. Drug Administration, overdose deaths, particularly from prescription drugs and heroin, have reached epidemic levels. Nearly half of all opioid overdose deaths in 2016 involved prescriptions. You've heard this on the news. Involved prescriptions. By 2015, annual overdose deaths surpassed deaths from both car accidents and guns. Drug overdoses has since become the leading cause of death for Americans under 50, with two-thirds of those deaths from opioids. 2016, 62,000 Americans died from overdose, 19% more than in 2015, and had killed, and do you know this? Drug overdose deaths has killed more Americans in 1 year than both the wars of Vietnam and Iraq combined. By a comparison, to see the increase of drug usage, 16,000 deaths, 2010 drug usage, 4,000, if you go back to 1999, figures from June 2017 indicate the problem has worsened. While death rates varied by state, public health, here's what they're saying, listen to this, public health experts estimate that nationwide over 500,000 people could die from the epidemic over the next 10 years. According to National Institutes of Drug Abuse, every day, more than 90 Americans die after overdosing on opioids. Opioids are a class of drugs that include illegal drug heroin, of course, synthetic opioids, such as fentanyl, pain relievers, available legally by prescription such as oxycodone, hydrocodone, Vicodin, codeine, morphine, and many others. Now, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. I'm not an opinion on this subject. But I'd say this. I'd say that doctors need to be careful. But my problem, the problem is not with doctors. The problem is with sin. It still goes back to that. Now, what about the delusion part? You say, preacher, you've looked at the drugs. You considered the depravity. Where does the delusion word come in? Here it is. You know that things are going to compound on this earth once the rapture takes place. Did you know that the people that are living, when the Lord Jesus comes back, that have failed to get saved, they're going to believe the lie, the Bible says, and be damned. They're going to believe the Antichrist. They're going to fall in behind his leadership. They're going to support him. They're going to be in his corner. It's going to be a supernatural brainwashing. People will believe the Antichrist. Delusion. Delusion, that's what it is. Here's my Bible. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Delusion. Now the word damnation. That they all might be damned. You know, I can't answer for any other preacher as far as what they preach, how they preach, when they preach, and all that. That's their business. But I can only answer for myself. Now, you know, you can hold me on record if you want to. Go back and pull the tapes. You'll find that this preacher's preached a whole lot of messages on the love of God, on the mercy of God. I've preached a lot of messages on Calvary, haven't I? I've spent a lot of time going to that passage of Scripture in Hebrews, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I would much rather talk about justification than I would damnation. But it's here, though. It's in the Bible, isn't it? And I'll say this. I look you in the face this morning, and I say to you that God is going to judge sinners. And God knows that I'm not preaching on the subject of hell with an attitude that's wrong. I'd like for every person that's ever walked in the door of this church to join me in heaven. So don't ever accuse me of preaching on the subject of damnation and judgment with a heart that's not in tune with what I'm saying. God knows my heart. But the word damnation is right here before our eyes. You know, Charles Spurgeon said this about the place called hell. He said it's a place of absence from God, a place for the development of sin, where every passion is unbridled, every lust unrestrained, a place where God punishes night and day, a place where there's no sleep or rest or hope, a place where a drop of water is denied, though thirst shall burn the tongue. A place where pleasures never breathe, where light never dawned, where anything like consolation was never heard. A place where the gospel is denied and mercy droops her wings and dies. It is a place where vengeance reigns and shakes her chains and brandishes her sword. It is a place of fury and burning. It is a place the like of which imagination has never pictured. I'd take this book right now in my hand. I'd close it. I'd go home. And I'd never preach another message if I didn't believe there was a hell. But just as surely as I believe there's a heaven, I believe there's a hell. Amen. And I must preach it. I must tell you this morning, sinner, oh sinner friend, please listen to me. I plead with you to come to Christ today. I warn you the consequences if you refuse. You will one day, I can guarantee you, you will one day be summoned to the Supreme Court of Heaven, where God Himself resides. You will be found. You will be summoned. Your soul and body that have been partners in sin will become eternal partners in judgment. Multitudes that have drunk from the cup of the devil will now drink from the cup of God's wrath. Your ears that have grown accustomed to hearing the obscene, the vile, the filth, will now hear the howling of the damned forever, and one of the voices that you will hear will be your very own. You will be among the living dead with an eternal sentence without the possibility of parole. You'll never hear the word exemption ever used. You'll suffer forever and ever. You'll burn forever and ever. Your mind will serve notice forever and ever. You'll remember sitting in a church service on August the 20th, 2017, and the preacher preaching this message. Your mind will serve notice. You've waited 1 minute too long. You've walked out of one service too many. You said no one too many times to God. You sit casually in a church pew thinking you were all right and lullabying yourself with the fact of a little religion, but you never checked it out deep down in your soul, and you've never taken the time to come to the cross of Calvary and recognize He paid your sin debt in full. Listen to me. Tomorrow, multitudes of people are going to be looking up at the sky, looking at the sun. But many of us will be looking up at the sky looking for the sun. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. There'll be a blackout tomorrow. When that moon passes before the sun for a brief period of time, certain places in our hemisphere will experience that darkness. But my friend, let me remind you of another total eclipse. Let me take you back to the cross. Let me remind you that that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hung between heaven and earth, and our sins were placed upon Him, there was a total eclipse. The sun refused to shine. And I'll tell you, the one who is the light of the world, eyes, physical eyes, could not see Him at that point of time because of the immense darkness. Because at that point of time, He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And God judged Him in our stead. Now, my sinner friend, I ask you the question. How do you think you will have any chance whatsoever of missing the judgment of God if you walk by Calvary? How do you think you will ever be excused, be justified, have heaven as your home if you stand beneath that cross, so to speak, identifying with that crowd that cried, "Crucify Him," and you're guilty of His death just like we all are? But do not ever expect God to wipe your slate clean if you still counted Jesus Christ as an impositor, like the crowd did that day. No one will ever get to heaven by bypassing Calvary. Delusion, drugs, depravity, but damnation. Let me close this way. The only hope today is in the one who is the author of hope, because He's the author of life. He's the same one that I've been attempting to preach about now for over 45 years. I've been consistently preaching that message here at this church for nearly 20 years. My message has not changed. The answer is the same. The cross is still the answer. The tomb is empty. The throne is occupied. And your book of sin may pass through the shredder of God's grace today if you'll trust Christ. But I warn you, the day will come you'll hear your last sermon. The day will come you'll breathe your last breath. The day will come you'll step over the threshold of death. And my friend, if you fail to be accompanied by Him through the valley of death, you will regret for an eternity the failure to drink from the well of living water that is available to you today. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I can tell you this morning, there's not a single person in this building today that the blood will be found dripping on this preacher's hands if you die and go to hell. It's not because this preacher hasn't preached the gospel. My friend, you reject Christ, you're on your own. I warn you today, if there's even the slightest thought within your mind you're not a Christian, in light of the impending judgment of God which is coming, I warn you to flee from the wrath of God to come. Heads bowed, please. Eyes closed.